when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everywhere in the world, anywhere you're listening to Blood River Radio. Today is May 1st. It is the holy day for Satanists, Luciferians, occultists, all sorts of ne'er-do-well and evil people. It was May Day. It's a humongous day of celebration, if I'm not mistaken, in the old Soviet Union, when the Jewish, Zionist, Bolshevik, Luciferians took over and conquered the largest nation in the world, Russia. By the way, never think that it was a Russian revolution. No, it was not. It's the one and only, the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that it was not a Russian revolution. Small cabal of international Jews. And people, if you don't like to hear about the Jews, if you don't like to hear the truth, that's not my fault. Because here on Blood River Radio, we will never, ever back down from the truth. We don't care who doesn't like it. And I know some people out there listening today that doesn't like what I've been saying about that. But that's just too damn bad. Well, people, as I said, if you're listening to Blood River Radio, we have a humongous night. And listen, we have a special surprise for our prayer tonight. As you know, the drill, we get ready. We always open Blood River Radio with a prayer. So take it away, Miss Cordelia.
Hier staan ons voor die heilige God van hemel en aarde om geloof staan om te doen term en ons vijand in ons hand sal gee. Ons die dag en die dag dat ons huis tot sy eer sal oprig voor het onbehaal. Dat ons ons ook wille met ons daarin deel tot na gedachtenis ook vir die opkomende geslagte. Want die eer van sy naam sal beheerlik word deur die roem en eer van oorwinning aan hom te gee.
We stand here before the holy God of heaven and earth to make a vow to him. If he will protect us and give our enemy into our hand, and we shall keep this day and day every year as a day of thanksgiving, like a Sabbath. And that we shall build a house to his honor, wherever it should please him. And that we shall also tell our children that they should share in that with us in memory for future generations. For the honor of his name will be glorified by giving him the fame and honor for victory. Thank God Almighty, amen, for that victory. People, what you just heard, I hope she came through. That's Miss Cordelia Mueller. She's calling in from South Africa. She's a mere 21 or 22 years old. She's a trooper. She's a staff member with Suplanders. And I'll get her to pronounce that right in a minute. It's probably the largest civil defense organization in the entire world. It's located in South Africa, of course. And the reason it's put together, I'll get her to talk about it in a minute, it's put together for the inevitable day when the totally black African National Congress and other parts of the black government, which is led by the communists, of course, when they declare that they're all-out genocidal war against the South Africans and people, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, according to their own speech. I'm talking about these wonderful people like the Nelson Mandels in the world, and his progeny. But anyway, tonight, like we said, people, we have Miss Cornelia. She just said the day of the about prayer in Afrikaner. I said it in English, and I'm going to let Miss Cornelia is going to give you a brief. She's going to tell you about that prayer, where it was taken, when it was taken, when it was given, and the purpose of it. So go ahead, Miss Cornelia.
Good evening. Hello, sir. So the Day of the Vow is a very special day for us in South Africa, especially for the Afrikaner white minority in South Africa. We call ourselves, which means translates to farmer, because we basically consist mostly of farmers, or at least at that time got our names. After South Africa, there was a lot of border and there was a lot of oppression from the British. So the Boers, the farmers, decided to have this great trance, and they basically and it was also for religious freedoms, because they mostly consisted of Dutch people and they didn't have the best of relationships with the British. The British were very unfair in the sense that the Dutch farmers and the border farmers would fight these wars for the British, and they were compensated. They were not anything back that they'd lost. There were some other things. So the Boers decided to start with a great track, and it was in 1834, and it spread right to 1840. The time that it was the most prominent was around 1836. And so the farmers went over northern words in South Africa, and they met these brutal Zulus in KwaZulu-Natal, which is one of the 9 provinces of South Africa. And the king at that time was Dingane, and he was very vicious. But one of the leader track, which went to Natal, all of the Zulus, and said, we would want to buy some land from you. We would want to negotiate some, or want to have some of this land, because it's very beautiful. It was very fruitful. And Dingane told them to get some of my cattle that was stolen by one of my enemies from another tribe. Then I shall give you land. And they signed a contract, but King Dingane was right. And so the farmers went and they brought the cattle back. And Dingane was really proud to receive it. You shall have land, but you will have a big feast for you. And the farmers, really being aware of the characteristics of the Zulus or their wars or of their history, blindly believed them and trusted them. So they went to this the leader at of the group, which went and fetched the cattle as well. So they went to this feast, and Dingane said, "Well, you're not allowed to bring anyone to this hut." It was a big round like hut, and which they went and they left all of their weapons, and then the started dancing to them, and then they murdered all of the putative men and putative himself, keeping him alive until they killed everyone last of his men in front of him, and then lastly his son also in front of him, very young boy. Then on a murdering rampage through these smaller groups of Boers and farms. One was the murder of Blokans, which is it was a river and it was a certain place in Natal. And they basically it was one of the most brutal rampages ever. in our history, of which there are many. And it was only a long while after that which realized that, oh, Patriots, and we felt very hopeless because the leader were killed and they were not that much, and asking for someone that would be able to come and help them. So then Andries Pretorius, who was also a Boer, and when he got there, it was basically, in summary, they made a vow. And this is the same vow that Sir Eddie read, and I read, that I said in Afrikaans. And it basically consisted of a prayer for 6 days, for 7 days, each day, praying and making a vow to be saved. And then, pardon me, and then when the battle took place, it was on a Sunday. And it was miraculous that the Boers who was survived. Not one passed away, and only one got their 30,000 in this, which is the Zulu warriors. So that is...
Miss Cornelia, we have to go to a quick break, dear. Here's the music. We got to go to our first commercial break. We'll be right back to you in just a minute, Miss Cornelia. Hang on, dear. These people, you're listening to the very young 21, 22-year-old Miss Cornelia. She was an instrumental member of South Members, the greatest civil defense organization in the world, located in South Africa. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
I'm Pastor Ed.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, I think we got everything straightened out. And Mr. J performed his work. He's really a great engineer. Keep in mind, Miss Cornelia is not in her regular residence in South Africa. She's in another place. We're not going to say where for obvious reasons. But she warned me ahead of time today that we may be having some problems, some audio problems like that. As you know, Blood River, you know, unlike a lot of the other radio people, we don't back down from anything. You know, if we have crappy connections, crappy engineering, you know, not Jace, not that their fault, we soldier on. We try to do what we can. We go in uncharted territory. And we knew before going in, we're probably going to have some difficulties. The precious little Miss Cornelia, tell me about that. So, thank God. With people like Jay running the things, we shut my computer down, his computer. You would not believe what we did during the breaks, but I think we're going out fine right now. And people, as you know, we had Miss Cornelia Mueller on. She's like a spirit granddaughter to me. She's a warrior. I think I told you in the beginning, in case I didn't go out. Matter of fact, instead of me telling you what she is, I'm going to go back to tell Miss Cornelia to finish what she was talking about, and then I'm going to tell her, I want her to give you her resume. She is used to work for Mr. Simon Roche, a brother of mine, and also in South Africa. She's no longer with the Foreign Department. She is with another department. So, Miss Cornelia, precious little girl, if you will, soldier, tough as nails little girl, tell the audience again your position. I'm sure I'm butchering the word. It'll be older name now. I'll never get that word down. I call it Southlanders. But go ahead and tell them your position with Southlanders and expand on what I said about being the largest civil defense organization in the world. Probably go ahead, Miss Cornelia.
Okay, thank you, sir. So I'm Cornelia Mueller, and I work in Southlanders because South Africa is the most southern point of Africa. The idea of the Southlanders basically started in 1992. The problems in South Africa started way before 1994, when we basically the apartheid ended and the ANC took over the rule in South Africa. So it was long before that when there was a lot of things already happening, and my father started with the idea of the Southlanders around 1993, but in 2006 he established the Southlanders, which is a plan. It is basically to prepare Protestant Christian South African minority for a coming violent revolution based on all of these aspects and as we can call them symptoms of a terrible revolution in South Africa. Worked at the Foreign Division for quite a bit, and then I really enjoy working with other young people because so many young people don't really know how to handle this situation. They do see what's happening. It's quite obvious, but they know where to go. They don't know who to listen to or where to search. So that's why I'm quite passionate about working with some of the young people and trying to spread the word as quickly as possible in how to be more prepared and to be a part of the site and know exactly what's going on and how you can handle it. And that's quite what I'm doing.
Well, Miss Cornelia, I'll tell you what, talking about trying to use this hack, I have this eternal hack. I live almost in a swamp. We live right there in the northern edge where the delta of the Mississippi River starts, and I run continually. Did a little 18-miler yesterday, and the humidity was high, and we have all this pollen in the air. So I know people that listen to me are used to me doing this eternal hack, but I apologize ahead of time. But anyway, I tell you what, getting the message out to the young people has got to be like a full-time job. The trouble is here, like I live in Memphis, and it's probably a microcosm of what we see nationwide, but I hope the rest of the nation is not as cucked out as Memphis, Tennessee is. Most of the people I hang around with that runners, there's only two or three of them will have anything to do with me anymore, but that's just, you know, their loss. But most of the people your age, I think you're 22 now, Miss Cornelia, 22, right? Okay. You know,
21.
Most of the 21. Okay. I knew it was getting close. But anyway, if you let me know when your birthday is, I'll try to send a card to you some kind of way. That's true. And maybe some of our listeners can, but I'm really so grateful you're on our show, and I'm grateful you're safe. We're going to get into some of the stuff that's going on over there in South Africa in a minute, but you know, it's almost impossible to get the word out here in the United States about what's going on in South Africa. You know, very few people in the United States know about the genocide going on in South Africa right now. And when you try to tell them about it, most of them just, they reject it. They say it's not true, or they'll say, I'm talking about the millennials and younger, or they choose not to believe that. We can't get the news media, the so-called news media, the major channels here in the United States to carry it. They're too concerned about, virtue signaling by going all over the world and adopting non-white children. One of the favorite places of the United States to go, if you want to virtue signal to heaven and back, go to Haiti and adopt a black child. And by the way, that black child that you adopt from Haiti is the grand progeny of the people who slaughtered every living, breathing white person there a couple hundred years ago. They killed all men, women, children, babies. That's an aside. Or another great place to go is Haiti. Kenya. If you go and adopt a black child in Kenya or Haiti, my God, you're like a superstar here in Memphis. To hell with the children in South Africa. To hell with the children in Appalachia that don't have anything to eat. But anyway, Miss Cornelia, I tend to go off on these rants because I'm very, very, very passionate about that. But listen, tell the people about some of the latest things, atrocities that's happened since you were on our radio last time, a couple months ago. How many farm murders are you aware of? Is the situation getting better? Is it getting worse? I know the last time before we had you on, you had a severe problem with water. I know Simon Roach was telling us that the water situation, getting drinking water there, was really tough because the all-black controlled white gas and water company over there was just sticking it to the white folks. So go ahead, tell us, give us an idea of what kind of conditions are you living under right now. Oh, Miss Cornelia, I'm sorry, we're going to another break. I'm sorry. Hold on to that thought. When we come back, explain, if you will, take off of what I said. We're going right back to a break. People, hold on. We'll be right back after this break.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
One day after his New York City apartment and office were raided by the FBI and electronic devices were seized, President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says it's unfair. The feds are trying to find out whether he was working as a foreign agent for clients in the Ukraine while he was pressuring the government to investigate Hunter Biden. On Fox News, Giuliani denied he did anything wrong.
I can tell you, I never ever represented a foreign national. In fact, I have in my contracts a refusal to do it. I have never represented a Ukrainian national or official before the United States government. I've declined it several times. I've had contracts in countries like Ukraine. In the contract is a clause that says I will not engage in lobbying or foreign representation.
Former U.S. Attorney Chuck Rosenberg said Giuliani is simply making things up. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regard to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of the Epoch Times and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Today is May Day, and there were marches across the world. A rare sight during the pandemic, large and closely packed crowds with marchers striding shoulder to shoulder. May Day is the International Labor Day, the annual celebration of workers' rights. In France, thousands took to the streets, sometimes scuffling with police. In Germany and in Bosnia, where rallies were allowed, workers vented their concerns over jobs and protections. In Indonesia, thousands voiced anger at a new jobs law that critics fear will reduce severance pay. Protesters in Jakarta laid mock graves on the street to symbolize hopelessness. Also in Istanbul, riot police stopped many from reaching the main plaza. In Rio de Janeiro, thousands of demonstrators rallied at Copacabana Beach. There were also protests in Brasilia and other cities. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, we are right back. And like I said earlier, before we started the show, this is May Day. It's a holy day for all the communist Luciferians all over the world and all the occultists all over the world. It's a great holiday for them. May they burn in hell forever one of these days. Oh, I hope I didn't sound too mean. But before I go back to Miss Cornelia, I just want to kick in one thing I heard on the news. I think it was today. You know, keep in mind that a white person can't get within 50 miles of Washington, D.C. without the FBI. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Blocking Investigations, without them coming in and arresting us white folks. But, you know, they have like, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands, I don't know how many it is, but you got all these colors, these like Mexicans, Panamanians, you know, all these mud people coming from South Africa, South America, excuse me. They're in Washington, D.C. protesting. They're not citizens. They've been here for a month, and they're protesting and raising hell because they want more benefits. They want this. They're totally dissatisfied with this country. So I think they need to get the hell back, and along with all the Democrats, you know, the people that voted against Trump. Anyway, back to you, Miss Cornelia. Take us away and tell us about what we talked about during the break.
And basic update in South Africa would be quite complex, but I'll just start at one point and then. So the first thing is putting a date on something is really, really dangerous. That's it's quite dangerous. But even liberal liberal consultancy groups and risk management and analysts have even put in a date on South Africa's demise, which is quite gobsmacking. And for example, Unomics, which is a risk consultancy group, said that if South Africa continues on the current trajectory, it would be a failed state in 2030. And then other than that, we have quite liberal analysts, such as Dr. Franz Cronier from the Institute of Race Relations, that even admits that South Africa's failure will be really, really long stretched and long drawn. And that is what we really do see in South Africa. It's not, it's deteriorating quickly, but not as fast as, it's not as fast deteriorating as fast as Zimbabwe. For example, South Africa's debt consists of, or it takes 2% of the GDP, and they actually, believe that it's going to stabilize at 95%. Our infrastructure is in a terrible condition. Only the replacement, alone the replacement. Cost of water and sanitation infrastructure. Or the deep down in South Africa with the COVID and etc. 80% of train stations has been completely plundered and destroyed. Our protests are at 2 protests per day on average, and it was quite at its peak a couple of months ago when it was 8 protests a day. Most of the protests are usually about labor, jobs, etc. But South Africa has the highest unemployment rate all divided by the South African statistics. So everything is quite deteriorating, everything. 4.8% of the population pays 92% of all the... And that 5%... will decrease for the reason that many people are leaving South Africa because economically we are in a very dark tunnel and it doesn't seem like there's any light. The ANC is very divided at the current moment, with one faction being very radical and the other one being radical as well, but just being dramatic about the rape capital of the world. And they also say that at least 40% of women in South Africa will be raped once in their lifetime. And yes, the investment in the infrastructure is declining. It's quite, the farm murders are very consistent still, but they don't, we don't read it in the main period from advocacy groups or personal groups you belong to. It's, you barely see it in any mainstream newspaper. Yes, we do have a couple of people that each month put a list together of each farmer attacked, each farmer murdered. So that would be a basic update of what's going on in South Africa. But yes. It is it is deteriorating, absolutely. It really is.
Well, you know, Ms. Cornelia, while you gave an excellent update right there, you know, while you were doing that, I was going through this this book of mine, The Secret Behind Communism. I was listening, while I was looking at it, scanning it while you were speaking. It says, South African Marxism, The Usual Suspects. It says, right, I'm just going to read a couple of lines. It says, the South African communists, I'll see if you're familiar with any of it. You probably are because you're very, very sharp. The South African Communist Party was founded in 1921 in Cape Town. And according to its launch manifesto, was constituted out of the following organizations. And listen to these organizations, people. See if it's not the same old suspects. the Communist Party of South Africa, which had been formed by the union of the former Internationale Soviet League, SA, the Social Democratic Federation of Cape Town, Communist Party of Cape Town, Jewish Socialist Society of Cape Town, Jewish Socialist Society of Johannesburg, the Marxian Club of Durban, and other socialist bodies and individuals. Okay, it goes on down. It says, the South African Communist Party created out of Jewish socialist organizations. And it names a bunch of them. I mean, this is an entire chapter on this. I'm flipping over to another picture right here. It's got the precious, oh, they're so precious, Winnie and Nelson Mandela. Oh, God, they're saints. There's a church not far from where I live. Matter of fact, Lee Cochran, one of our co-hosts, used to go to the church. It's a Presbyterian church off of Nero. I ran by just yesterday going by Lee's house. Anyway, it's got Winnie. They have a they used to have a slogan up on their billboard talking about these wonderful, you know, they gave these little slogans put forth by Nelson Mandela, that saint. Anyway, Winnie, his wife, has got Winnie and Nelson Mandela and Joe Slovo, who is he was a brains. He said, you know, he's a proud Jew. He was a brains behind the African ANC, the African National Congress. It was funded. He proudly claims that it was funded by Jewish money, run by Jewish brains, as we just said. And I just like to point this out. If people don't know, Nelson Mandela, and probably Winnie Mandela more so than Nelson, they were very well known for this little trick they call necklacing. They used on white people, but they used it probably more on their own people who didn't like communism, who didn't want to come around to communism, and because they're just pure terrorists and just like to kill people. They would take like one of their favorite tricks in necklacing. Here's why they call it a necklace. They would take a poor victim. They would get enough people behind him to tie him with his hands behind his back, make him immobile. They'd like to cut a tire in two, half in two, and put the tire around the person's neck and fill it up with petrol, with diesel fuel or gasoline. And then they like to set it on fire. And this is the really sweet, kind part. They would let the fire burn until it burns that tire rubber, and the rubber would rip and melt all the down from the shoulders all the way down the body of the individual. And the louder these people screamed, the more these torturers loved it. They just reveled in that pain. That's what they did. That's what they call necklacing. As a matter of fact, Miss Winnie, she made a song about it. She talked about going about with her matches and her necklaces. But anyway, Miss Cornelia, you're probably familiar with it, but the Communist Party of South Africa and what's going on over there right now, the way these blacks were able to take over, you know, like one of my buddies Keith says, blacks, they couldn't organize a two-car funeral, but it's the same way there as it is here in the south of the United States. These southern carpetbagger Jews came down and started the so-called civil rights movement and stirred up all these blacks and poisoned their mind against whites. The same thing going on in there, Africa. And I hear the music again, Miss Cornelia. I'm getting ready to shut up. We'll be right back to Miss. We'll go back to Miss Cornelia right after this break. I'll ask her a question or two. Hold on to your seats, people.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jay. I tell you what, Jay, people, I gotta meet this guy, Jay. He's a working miracles with our board tonight. He has this new system. I can't remember what it is. I call it the IPDTL system that we're working on tonight. And they're even improving it more and doing more changes. So Blood River is going to continue to get more high tech. I guess I'm going to have to go get some more high tech education so I learn how to do this better. But anyway, people, I was talking about going off a little rant before we went to the break. And Miss Cornelia, I'll talk to her. I could talk to Miss Cornelia now and the other guests during the break. So she's going to go back and respond to what I said, the dear Miss Cornelia Mueller. But go ahead, Miss Cornelia. Take off, dear.
Okay, sir. So we basically just spoke about the South African Communist Party, which has a really the aim was established in 1912. And in the 1920s, it was in a certain sense, split off the Communist Party and the Party. But they were quite disorganized for that while. But in the 1900s, the youth of the ANC was basically established, and that it was very militant and very aggressive. And that attracted people such as Walter Sisulu, Nelson Mandela, et cetera, et cetera. So from this, we know that they've had a very strong bond for a very long time. And in 1990, this party, Kusatu, which is basically a youth group for workers, and the AA has basically signed and has an alliance, a very clear alliance that we know about in South Africa, and it's called the tripartite. And yes, Afro-Marxist. Even the ANC's history is very Marxist. But now, as I said earlier, half of the one faction of the ANC is very diplomatically so, and we have a very overt Afro-Marxist parliamentary party, such as the EFF, which is very transparent of what they want and how they want to achieve it. So, yes, communism is well on its way to South Africa, and it's going to be something very, very terrible. So, yes, that's how I can summarize it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you did a great job. I know, Ms. Cornelius, before we went to the break, I was kind of on a rant. The same thing that's going on there in South Africa, and to a lesser degree, what's going on? I tell people, and you go to our website, if you go to Blood River Radio website, it's on there. I've talked about hard genocide, soft genocide. Soft genocide is what you see going on in Western Europe right now. Same thing going on here in the United States of America. It's going on in all If you notice, in all the white nations on earth, hard genocide, according to the Blood River Radio definition, is when people are actually being raped on a daily basis, just like Miss Cornelia said. I think she said, like, if I heard right, we're having a few difficulties. About 40% of all white girls in South Africa will be raped or have been raped. That's going on. They're being killed, boiled alive. One of the favorite torture treatments that these precious blacks over there, that are the ones that have been discriminated against so bad, they love to take even little babies, and they love to, like, boil them alive. They like to get water going, hot water, diesel fuel. They love to do that. But they like to rape them in front of their parents and grandparents first. I mean, the atrocities going on over there, you just can't imagine. But I'm not, you know what? I don't back off from it. I hope it does freak some people out, because you know what? You need to know what the hell's going on over there. Well, let me tell you what, folks. It's going on right now in South Africa with the genocide. The soft genocide is what we call ethnic cleansing, which is what a laugh, against the international law. You know, there's no law. The only time there's a law is anytime when one white person is doing something. You know, that's the only time it's illegal. Anytime a white person dares to breathe, a white Christian, this is, you know, a crime. The same thing's going on here in the United States, and I don't have to tell you, we're being totally overrun by non-white people, non-Christian people. And it's the whole idea, the people behind it, the same old people, that Jesus Christ talked to about in St. John 8:44. The same people. It's these Antichrist Zionist Jews. And before I go on about the Antichrist Zionist Jews, I'm going to put it out there. A Jew can become to heaven, can get saved just like a white, just like a non-Jew. But you know what? Very few will do it. It's very rare that they'll do it. First of all, you have to give up your hatred for white Gentile people. That's right. You have to give it up. And you have to come to Christ. I'm telling you, you Jewish people out there, and I know some, if you will believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you will admit and you will confess with your lips that Jesus is the Son of God, you too will be saved. And that will keep you from going to hell. Because I'm telling you what, these Jewish friends, some of them I know, you're going to bust hell wide open if you don't do that. The same way with my Baptist friends, my United Methodist friends. Anybody, and I'm going to go back to Miss Cordelia just a second. Anybody, I don't care who you are. I don't care, give a damn who you are. If you don't admit Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are going to bust hell wide open. And I'm going to tell them, this is strictly, I'm addressing my Baptist friends, my Methodist friends, all other people. There is nothing that can come between you and Jesus. Stop worshiping your precious Jews. Stop. And this is the Baptist. The Baptist church, they worship Jews. They worship Israel. And they think, you know what, I'm going to ask my Baptist friends, and I'm going to shut up. If you get saved, if you do what I said, like the scripture says, King James Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall be saved. Does it say, oh, you also got to bless Abraham? He who sins against Abraham, I will curse. Who loves Abraham, I will bless. Well, that, you know, if do you have, is it Jesus Christ plus the Jews? The Catholics, is Jesus Christ plus the rosary, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up with that rant. But Miss Cornelia, the point I was making is, I'm going to go right back to you. You know, the same people, it's the same people that own the media, they own the treasury, they own the banks, they own the Congress, and they own the same apparatuses in every white nation in the world. They're their same enemy. And before we can attack, before we can defeat our enemy, we have to know who the hell he is. I hope I made a little bit of sense there, Miss Cornelia. And so back to you, Miss Cornelia. We got a few more minutes before we go to the break.
No, I completely understand, sir. I really do. Something that you object away. And it was basically when our previous president, Jacob Zuma, who, by the way, stole in his second term alone money equivalent to 5 years of the medical health budget of how much that would have cost. So that's it's mind-boggling. And basically paying off groups and getting media out to when his case started to come forth, basically. And that's one amazing example. And another one is this happened about a month or two ago when Johann Rupert basically threatened Cyril Ramaphosa, our current president, and threatened him and said he was going to take his funds, the funding that he gives to the ANC, away if President Cyril Ramaphosa does not ask Secretary General Ace Magashule to leave the ANC, which Ace Magashule, the Secretary General, is basically also has a very bad case against him, 22 cases against him of fraud and money laundering, one of which was more than 200 million rand of a project that never existed or actually happened. So, yes, he has a very, very, also threatened that him to stop funding or putting in favors for Cyril Ramaphosa within the media. And when you hear that comes, it's quite obvious what's going on and that you really can't trust any mainstream group. So, yes, that is what I can add to what Sir Eddie said.
Ms. Cornelia, we got a few more minutes before we go to transition to second hour, but you told the audience something, I think the last time you were here, about certain classes, what the conditions were in university, because I know you've been to university, what the conditions were like, you know, how you were discriminated against because you were white, certain classes you had to take, you know, like, for instance, here we have in the United States, we have desensitization classes, we have classes that teach our children to stop being so white. Would you like to tell the audience before we, in the little time we have remaining before the second hour, about the conditions in the university system? Go ahead, Ms. Cornelia.
So our one university, the University of South Africa, which is basically a majority on this learning, it was one of the top universities in the world at its, and now currently it is absolutely in a horrifying condition. This year, something quite interesting happened. The UNISA said they are going to accept 20,000 learners, and the EFF was serious about it. And they said, well, if we can't study, no one's going to study. So in the one sense, everyone debates, yes, it's very, very irresponsible to take that education away, which is true, but now we're taking all education away. So there's a lot of protests. There were a lot of protests at the university at the beginning of the year. And there was a student killed with police because our police uses rubber bullets to shoot at the people. So a student was killed, and then there were protests on the killing. And other than our education not being at the height that it should be.
Ms. Cornelia, we have to go to, we're leaving now. We're transitioning to the second hour. If you'll, Ms. Cornelia, please hold on. We're going to keep you over the second hour for at least another segment before Mr. Gene called in. So if you will, Ms. Cornelia, please stay on, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. People, we'll be right back. We're transitioning to the second hour. It's going to be a little bit longer break than normal, so just use the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, whatever, but please come back and listen to us. Be right back.